got a responsibility to do right. Because if you don't do right, then you're going to end up in a mess. And God takes it serious. And so you can sit there and think about as an adult, what begins to happen in your life as an adult. And you begin to grow, you get confident, you begin to see your own life, you begin to have your own ideals, your own desires, and you begin to maybe get some sense of confidence in life, and you get independent, you feel better about yourself. And a lot of times what will happen is your mother and father will begin to listen to you. That's just kind of the way things work. They begin to listen to you because you begin to get some things right in your life, you look at some things, you've got some desires that you had, you've accomplished some things, and now they begin to listen to you. And I just noticed that over and over with adults, as they get older, they're going to have to listen to you. And the point is this. How do you listen to that? How do you listen to that? It says right there, he says, "Who shall call us the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall call himself in his own field." So he's talking to his parents. Your parents, you can influence by your actions and your reactions. 13. He that covers his sin shall not prosper, but he shall confess it and confess his sin shall have mercy. You go over a verse like that in verse 10, and you realize that if a man accepts a man is going to confess his sin, he gets guilty, he gets mercy. That's the blessing of confessing his sin. And people go, they'll go months, not confessing his sin. And they'll just, nonchalantly just be like, we're doing all the sin. Don't work like that. Don't work like that. You've got to have a constant spirit. verse 1. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1. So when God begins to judge a country, and things begin to go wrong, here's what you're getting ready to see happen to your nation. When those wicked leaders begin to take over, slowly but surely, what begins to happen is this right here. You can see it. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "For behold, the Lord of hosts, shall take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war." So he begins to take away the mighty man, he will become what? He'll become a sinner. He'll become a sinner. Men become a sinner. They take away the mighty man and the man of war. They take away real men away from that country. Take away the judge. These wicked judges, they are. Judges that won't judge the right way. They're not interested in righteousness. They're not interested in doing right. They'll begin to be taken away. He says, takes away the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet. So you're looking at the preacher. You're looking at Christianity. That's going to go away. When God begins to judge a country here or a country judges itself and begins to get away from God, that's what begins to happen. Preachers begin to be apostates. They begin to preach lies. They're all about about covetousness. They're all about themselves. Read the book of Jeremiah and see what the preacher's problems were. It was about covetousness. It was about all about being themselves. And that's what happens to preachers. He says, and the prudent has to be able to use wisdom. You're sitting here having to have an argument with someone about which bathroom you use. Then you see what you're getting into. You can't even have a serious argument about that. If someone doesn't understand that, then they're just stupid, and there's no way to handle it. There's no way to fix it. And what begins to happen in the country is people begin to say, well, you know, they got a point. No, they don't have a point. They don't have a point. It's stupidity. It's stupidity. A man and a woman don't need to be in the same bathroom, and they don't need to be in the same locker room, and a man, just because he identified himself as a woman, shouldn't be playing women's sports. There's a reason they have women's sports, and there's a reason they have men's sports. It's because men are stronger, and they're faster, they're bigger, and they're quicker, and it's not a throw-off on men, it's not a women, it's not any of that stuff, it's just the plain truth of the matter. And now what you have is, if you've got young girls that's out there that spent their whole life training and working and trying to accomplish something, and now men are identifying themselves as women and going over there and taking their dreams away from them. And then you've got to sit here and say, we're going to have a serious conversation. No, you're not. It's stupidity. It's not even a conversation. It's one of those things that when your child comes home and says, somebody said this, and it's right here, and we're 10 years old, and you say, no, son, that's not the way it works. You just can't whip. You can't give them a whipping. You can't give people, when adults, you can't just give them a whipping, and that's what they need. That's exactly what they need. Quit being silly. Quit being stupid. It don't work that way. Some things we'll have a discussion about, and some things we don't have a discussion about. And you say, what happens? God, in a country, it takes away the prudence. People don't know how to use wisdom anymore. People don't listen to the ancient anymore. Take the word verse 3, the chapter 50, the honorable man. Honor, it's not even a word anymore. People don't even give a thought about having honor and integrity and things like that. They don't care. It's going away in America. He says, and the counselor. People don't even know how to get counsel anymore. You don't know how to sit here and if somebody comes up to you and says something like that, and you say, I identify. Well, quit identifying. Because that's wrong. And God made a man, and he made a woman, and you're a man, or you're a woman, and that's the counselor. You keep on doing that counselor. You know what they do? They sit down, and they try to help them find themselves, and figure themselves out, and all that stuff. You say, what's happening? Exactly what we've planned. We're beginning to reap what we sow. He says, we're going to lose the captain of 50, the honorable man, the counselor, the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator. You're going to lose all that stuff. When God begins to judge a nation, and you can look at America, and you can see it. Look down in verse 8. It says, for Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongues and their doings are against the Lord, and both the eyes of his Lord. You see, that's what happens. They're against the Lord. You're going against the Lord, and that's what begins to happen. In verse 9, the show of their countenance, their just it's all open and swung and out there. They've got parades, and you've got people there, and you've got people that you've got preachers. And I'm saying, you're working on any kind of field. What are you doing? You're getting amazed. God spoke on that stuff. And it was wrong before the law, it was wrong during the law, and it was wrong after the law. It's wrong. And God only got that once. But it's wrong every time, regardless of what anybody else thinks about. And that's wicked. It's wickedness. And when that wickedness happens, and it all happens, why? Because of wicked rule. That's why. A wicked leader. Look down in verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors. Children are their oppressors. And that's what's beginning to happen now. You've got children that's taken over. And it says, and women rule over them. Why are males over the kids? That's what people say about God. That's what they say about the Bible. And what Christians do, they sit back and they say, God said put men in place. That's what he said. And that's just the way it works. And God said, that's what to do. And we're going to see here in a little bit, in a little part, we get back to him, he's going to take some judgment. And verses like that, it's amazing. He said, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy path. People that lead thee, that's the problem, the leader. Now look at, go back to Proverbs. Or Proverbs chapter 11. What's wrong in America? Wrong in America is a lot of it is popular. Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verse 2. When it goes well with the righteous, this is good. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, he is exalted. There is hope of one by the mouth of the wicked. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Verse 34. Righteousness exalts the man. People think that's the only verse in the Bible about that. And it's not. I'm not going to go through all of these ones. I'm going to give you just Proverbs 15:34. But the fact is, righteousness does exalt men. And if you go there and talk about being a feminist, and you've got women today that raise their voice and they're trying to get them to be a feminist, and trying to get them to be soft, and teach them to wear soft clothing, and get them dressed soft, get them to wear women's earrings and gifts, like women and talk like women and all that stuff, and those women are just as bad as this thing. That's what God wants. He wants a man to be a man. He can be a real man. Proverbs chapter 24. Look at verse 24. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse. The nation shall avoid him. They're saying to the wicked, thou art righteous. And they put those people, they put them up as leaders, and acting like they're righteous or not. In Proverbs chapter 28, where we started at. Again, when the wicked rise, men hide themselves, but when the sitting they perish, the righteous will feast. Look at 29. Chapter 29, look at verse 2. When the righteous are in authority, he will rejoice. But when the wicked bears rule, the people mourn. It starts out, people don't think, oh, you know, these people can be good, and they're, you know, very good or whatever. And they finally begin to see what begins to happen. This is good. Look at chapter 29, and then verse 8. 3:19. Mournful men bring the city into its name, but wise men run away left. And so the point is that what happens is the ritual of righteous. And go see that for the 50 times it's contacted in the book of Proverbs. And when you're righteous, you get victory, and you're wicked, you get victory. And for one, it affects nations, cities, and towns, and it's in the least. And so what do God do? He's got to keep praying. So he says to him, over the New Testament, he prays for this. He says, come to me and keep your life. And he prays. And the other thing he's doing is just do the vote. Do the vote. He's trying to keep rotten leaders out. I'm wicked leader, then this is what's going to happen. And if you've got righteous leaders, then this is what's going to happen. And you've got an opportunity to vote to make a difference. Why wouldn't you vote? It makes absolutely zero sense. God gives you that. He gives you these consequences, and he tells you all this stuff. And if you have the opportunity to do the vote, and you don't do that, and you cannot pray, you still pray, but you still vote. You still need to go out there and vote to make a difference. You've got President Joe Biden up there right now that is against it. And he's going to be doing evil wrong. He's against it. He's already in jail with Iran. He's already doing all these things for Iran. And as a Christian, we're supposed to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And they said that President Trump was the best president for Israel that America's ever had. They named streets after him over there in Israel. And I don't know now, but as of yesterday before, Joe Biden still hadn't even talked to him. You know what? Because they don't care. And as a Christian, you had an opportunity to vote for somebody that was going to be a blessing to Israel. Or you can let God want to be, and Joe Biden is going to be a victim. And this is another way of convincing that God that a Christian shouldn't vote. You got a chance to vote against abortion or for abortion, one or the other. And you can vote. It affects nations and cities, towns, and you can do so and you pray and vote. Go to verse 28, go to verse 4. God said it's wrong, it's wrong. That's the way it is. That's what a Christian that's right with the Lord does. He says, I can discern between right and wrong. It's obvious this is right. How do you know? God says it's right. And it's what happens. Look at verse 4 of Proverbs 28:4. Because they that forsake the law, praise the wicked. But such as keep the law, continue. See, that's the difference. Where you stand out today? Well, you continue with the wicked. Or are you praising the wicked? You trying to understand the wicked? You trying to get along with the world? What are you trying to do? And that's how you know where you're at in a verse like that. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. And look at Proverbs. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse justify us to witness, and he that condemns to justice, even they both are falling into condemnation. You got people justifying the witness, they're justifying wicked people and wicked actions. You know what? They're standing in the mouth of God. They're an abomination to God. And get people here, and they ask themselves, do I have to do God? God rules that loving God rules that sick people. Read Revelation chapter 3. When you get the sick to spew you out of the mouth, throws you up, you are. Makes you sick. That's the Lord. And people don't look at their sins right. Here's what he says. He that justifies the wicked, and he that condemns the just, even they both are abominations to the Lord. Look over at Proverbs chapter 18. That's what you do. Regardless of people get mad at you, you know, that's why we'll go on down to you in a minute about suffering. The Bible says if you suffer for the Lord, that you're going to be happy. That's what it says. And a lot of people ain't happy that way because they're not standing. Because if you stand, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get persecuted. People's going to talk about you. They're going to label you. They're going to call you a hater. They're going to say it's a hate crime. Or they're going to say you're judgmental. He's always judging people. Yep, that's what we're doing. We're going by what God said. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And you shouldn't do it. You shouldn't accept it. You should be against it. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. All those things. You know what you need to deal with problem is we've got wickedness and righteousness. And it affects nations and cities if it's the leaders. It also affects your judgment if you're a preacher. If you're a preacher, it affects your judgment. What you begin to get back to it, and you become a little more wicked, the more wicked you the worst it is, we don't judge it. That's what happens. Verses, go back to 28. Verses 6, 11, 20, and 22 is dealing with riches. I'm just going to give you these records. 28, verse 6, verse 11, verse 20, and verse 22 is dealing with riches. And here's what you got to realize. God is not against you being rich. He's not against you. Matter of fact, he tells you how to be rich. But he's got some warnings about some characteristics that you don't need to have. And so, Proverbs 28:6, you don't need to be perverse. In other words, you don't need to pervert what's right and what's wrong in order to get rich. Perverting something is making it crooked, going around the line. This is a little borderline here. I don't know what I should do or not. Then don't be perverted. It'll mess you up if you get it. Don't be wise in your own conceit, your own imagination. Don't let your own imagination make you think that you're wise. And you're just thinking this is really the way this works. And anybody thinks right here, this is like this. And what happens is your conceit is the same imagination you have. You get wise in your own conceit, and you're not wise in the things of God. Proverbs 28:22 says, don't be hasty to be rich. Don't try to get rich quick. In a lottery or anything else. That's somebody that's just trying to get a bunch of money at one time. Proverbs 21:17, he says, don't be a lover of pleasure if you're rich, because what happens is you'll become poor. That's Proverbs 21:17. Proverbs 23:4, don't be consumed with being rich. Labor not to be rich. Don't just be consumed with it all times. If you're rich, God's not against you, but if you're doing those things up there, you're doing what you need. Now, five attributes to have, to get them. Proverbs 24 is diligent. You got to be diligent. If you're diligent, then you'll be rich. Proverbs 3:16 is you need wisdom. God's wisdom. Not wise in your own conceit. God's wisdom is your riches. Proverbs 11:4 and 11:28, you need to have righteousness as riches. Proverbs 22:4, you need to have humility and the fear of the Lord as your riches. Proverbs 24:4, you got to have knowledge. out today, Brother Jack. What is your problem? Proverbs 15, verse 8. God says, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. The prayer of the upright is his delight. Are you upright or are you wicked? The upright and wicked. Look at verse 29. He's not listening. He's not. Look at the length of my prayers. I don't know what's going on. That's because you don't know these verses in the Bible. You got to get right with the Lord. You got to get that fellowship back. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. He said, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. People cuss and go on or get in the flesh and go down the road and hear something about something and gossiping, going on, and this going on, and all of a sudden they hear something, and they just see it. You can hear gossiping go bad, you know, if you listen to it, and you know that conversation, somebody was walking in, and they start talking about somebody that's got cancer, and all of a sudden, all these people are just gossiping. He listens to it. We sit here and we think that God's just okay with everything. He's not. He's not okay with it. No more than you are with the way you're in your life. He's not okay with those things. He don't just overlook it. He don't overlook it when you don't go to church. He don't overlook it when you don't read your Bible. He don't overlook it when we'll sit here and we'll brag on this person, that person, and we don't ever brag on him. And we don't brag on how good he is. The Lord Jesus Christ. Don't think about the blood of Jesus Christ. He's not okay with those things. He's not. And we think, and Christians just think, well, they'll be all right, you know, everything will work out. When it don't work out, I don't know what's going on. Well, you just got to get right with the Lord. 1 Peter 3 says, for a man, if he don't understand his wife, and he don't understand the way she's made, it's going to hinder his prayer. It's going to hinder his prayer life. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And we pray and we think everything's all right. Everything's just hunky-dory. And it's not. It's not all right. Now, if you sit here this morning and you pray and you confess your sins and you're sorry about your sins and you get down and you pray, then the Lord's hearing you. And the Lord's merciful and he's a good father. He's a good father. But you can't just take him for granted. It just don't work that way. Look at Malachi here. Malachi chapter 3. What happens is we get wicked, we get backslid, and we begin to say, you know, what good is it to serve the Lord? Things ain't working out my way. Things ain't working the way I want them to. And I'm not happy. You look around and see people that look like other people are happy. We begin to think other people are happy. Look at Malachi chapter 3 again. And we go, well, we're in verse 13. And what the numbers say, it says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what if we spoke with him after this word? He said, you have said, it is vain, sir. And what profit is it that we have set before you, and that we have lost the means to understand the Lord's word? Read the book of Job, 27, right? Verse 15, and now we call the proud. Yea, they that work wickedness to set up. Yea, they that keep God, and he is. That's what people do say. They start to say, you know what? What good is it? What's the use? Why am I even serving the Lord for? The person says that right there, you know what the problem is? You're getting more wicked by the day. You're getting wicked by the day. And here's some things that will make you happy. Correction. And God will make you happy. Job 5:17. The Bible says if you get children, if you have children, that'll make you happy. Fearing God. Psalms 28, verse 1 and 2. If you fear God, that'll make you happy. God is your Lord. If God's your God, then you'll be happy. If the world's your God, then you'll be happy. If you have wisdom, that makes you happy. Proverbs 3:13. having mercy on the poor makes you happy. Proverbs 16:3, trusting in the Lord. Proverbs 16:20 makes you happy. Keeping the law. Proverbs 29:18 makes you happy. Controlling your thinking. Paul said, I think myself happy. Proverbs 16:16. Following your conviction from God gives you happy. You think some things are wrong, and you're reading through that, you think something's wrong, and you're going to get your conscience, you're not going to be happy. Follow your convictions, if you'll do what's right, and confess the things you know, then you'll be happy. Suffering for Jesus Christ, Philippians 3:14, Philippians 4:15. If you'll suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how bad it is, you'll feel that you'll be happy. You'll be happy. And you'll be right now. You can tell me, you think, I'm not happy. And you think everybody else in the world is happy. People are doing wrong. That's what you're doing to find. You're so happy. And why should I serve the Lord? That's what you're doing now. We'll read what he says, and we'll do what he says to do, and then when we don't do it, we'll say, well, God, be happy, and I'm not happy. Yeah, because you didn't do what he said. I quit eating this, it's supposed to help my blood pressure. What'd you quit eating? Well, no. Well, what are you mad at the doctor for? I still got high blood pressure.